May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. It would be easy to turn this parable into a set of instructions for social etiquette. Don't take the place of honor. Let it be given to you. But there's much more than that going on here in this parable and in this gospel passage. In Jesus' time, much more so than in our culture, most of our culture today, everyone knew their place in society. Everyone would know where their place was at a big banquet dinner table. There were very clear distinctions of social strata. And when someone gave a dinner, they would be very careful to invite the right people, people of influence, people who could help them out, people who would then owe them a return invitation or some other favor. So when Jesus says to them, when you give a banquet, invite people who cannot repay you, he is messing with the way things were done. Jesus was calling into question the way that the social fabric was ordered. And like most parables, this one was designed to make the hearer stop in their tracks, to really shock you, and so that you would wrestle with the parable. This parable calls into question the way that we order our social life. Just think about how often in our everyday life we are reminded of our place. Having flown recently, I think of airport lines, check-in lines, security lines, boarding lines. Most of the time, I'm in with the ordinary people, and I feel extremely lucky when my boarding pass says TSA pre-check. So for boarding, I'm usually standing with the regular folks who wait for what seems like forever while they call all the special categories. Very importantly, those who need assistance with boarding and people with young children. Then first class passengers, silver medallion members, platinum, gold members, nickel cadmium members, copper, tin, cardboard, paper. I'm almost not kidding if you've flown recently. It seems like that. I heard a story this week of a woman who got to a small airport early in the morning. There was no one else in any line. She wasn't sure which line she was supposed to be in, so she asked the employee, "Is that first class?" "No, that one's first class. You can't be in that line." So she got in the other line, even though there was no one in either line. And she wound back and forth, back and forth, back and forth through all the turns that were there of the regular passenger line until she finally reached the desk. Even with no one else in line, she could not go in the first class way. "You didn't earn this," they were telling her. "You didn't pay for this." We keep score in our society, in our normal way of doing things. And the places of honor in our daily lives are paid for, either by money. You can pay money and get first, you know, in line in the airport, or social capital, or position. And normally, if we invite someone for dinner, they will invite us in return. Tit for tat. We keep score. We rank ourselves by comparing ourselves with others. Even the brotherhood and the sisterhood, we got that competition going. We do that. It's not all bad, but we do it. And if we pay for first class, we don't want someone who didn't pay in our line. I don't know what it's like to be in junior high or high school anymore. It's been quite a while. But I bet if we asked one of our young people, they would tell us that there are still many unwritten rules for the cafeteria seating. Who sits where and with whom? And you don't break those rules. Well, Jesus says we have it all wrong. In the kingdom of God, he says, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. In the kingdom of God, give without expecting anything in return. In the kingdom of God, open up your house and your table to those who need the food, to those who do not get dinner invitations from important people. When we are able to live this out with God's help, we can do it because we know that our worth comes from God, not from our position, not from our title, not from our education, not from our social standing, not from our family background. Our worth comes from God. And God freely gives us worth and dignity. All of us, all people, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Every single one of us. And so every single one of us, no matter what our circumstances, is beloved by God. Every single person has equal dignity and worth in God's eyes. The Pope and the man who's on the side of the 275 off-ramp begging for food. The bishop and the homeless woman who lives in her car with her children. The president of the United States and the janitor of the high school. The woman in prison and the CEO of Apple. You get it. Our ultimate worth is given to us only by God. So we don't have to go around comparing ourselves with everyone else. In fact, when we do that, we are making light of God's gift to us and to all people. Now, this is radical stuff. Our whole society feeds on comparing people with each other, ranking people, putting people into their places. But just imagine for a moment what the world could be like if we didn't always do that. A wise music teacher once said to a student, "Never compare yourself to anyone but yourself." Not only is this very practical advice for musicians and everybody else, it's also wonderful spiritual advice. Never compare yourself to anyone but yourself. God wants each of us to grow in our lives of faith throughout our lives, but the way that you grow is going to be different from the way that your neighbor grows, and that's going to be different from the way that your best friend grows. So if we can stop comparing ourselves with others, if we can stop looking for our self-worth outside of our worth in God, if we can start living as if all people are equally beloved by God, just imagine what the world could look like. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Amen.